Chapter 2. The Myth of Assisted Living. My mother took a fall in the bathroom and cut her head, so the overnight receptionist at the Meadowview, a dim bulb, phoned me to say an ambulance was on the way. So often these calls came in the middle of the night. I wanted more than anything to roll over and go back to sleep. I knew exactly how awful the next however many hours would be. Enduring my mother's crankiness, masking my own with brittle good cheer, struggling with the medical people, and then fighting the effects of my fatigue the next day. The emergency room ordeal would leave my mother, and to a lesser extent me, limp for days. The gash on her head was, to use my mother's phrase, a big nothing. As a former registered nurse, she knew the difference between a cut and a cut, and had no patience for what she called the cover-your-ass policy, standard in assisted living facilities, of calling 911 at the drop of a hat rather than risking the wrath of a resident's litigious family. All three of us had offered to sign a waiver releasing Meadowview from any responsibility in exchange for their agreement not to ship her off to an emergency room without notifying us first. They declined our offer without explanation, and all of us were too weary to argue. After 6 p.m., when the facility's limited medical staff left for the day, there was nobody on site, unless you counted my mother, who had the training to know what qualified as an emergency. She tried to explain to the gum-cracking receptionist that minor scalp wounds produce alarming amounts of blood, but don't necessarily warrant a trip to the emergency room. But at her advanced age and in this environment, my mother was no longer a respected professional, her intellect and judgment intact. She was that cranky old woman in apartment 321. Old, sick, and helpless, she had no say in what would happen next, or she no longer had enough confidence to put up a fight. The ambulance workers, too, saw right away that the wound didn't need a single stitch. But their job, now that they'd been called, was not to determine if the summons was warranted, but to get her on a gurney and whisk her to the nearest emergency room. And by now, a few months after her arrival,